Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
No, just go there and wait for it to load. Hit the button. It's you got it right. Checkyourbreasts.com.
It's not spelled wrong.
Checkyourbreasts.com. Just hit the button and let it come up. You don't have to hear it. She's just talking about what you should do for breast cancer. But all you want to really do is see the pictures. You just want to do. Hi, this is Penn Jillette here at doing my Chevy Chase impersonation. Doing my Chevy Chase impersonation at 866-313-FREE-3733. And we want to talk about gas prices, because gas prices do affect us. Everybody in the country, and especially those of us who earn our living on the tourist trade here in Las Vegas. We do want to talk about that. 866-313-FREE-3733. Let's talk about gas prices, because as usual, I have a nut point of view on this. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. But while we were doing that, while we were doing all our elaborate research, and I got to tell you, you know, our research staff here has been finding out everything. You'll get news here you won't get anywhere else. One person in New York who works in New York with Rudy on the websites, one of the people that works on the websites, told us that we had that shock absorber site a while ago,
sure.
With the site for sports bras that showed us cartoons of how breasts move with different kinds of sports bras. Very, very important technology. Technology that can bring about world peace. That he was so taken with that show. I guess he listens to it on the iPod thing over and over again. Come here. Penn's talking about breasts. Listen to this. Puts it on there. But checkyourbreasts.com.
Checkoutmybreasts.com.
No. Isn't it checkyourbreasts.com?
Checkoutmybreasts.com.
I said it wrong?
Yes.
Let me see. I may make sure you're right. Checkoutmybreasts.com. Yes. Checkoutmybreasts.com. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. When we're going to be talking about gas prices. We're going to be talking about the Catholic Church. We'll be talking about everything that's important, Montana, everything you care about. But we want to deal with this. Checkoutmybreasts.com is this wonderful thing because it is important. The wonderful thing about the way the breast cancer people are dealing with this is they do that long chain of bras to get awareness. You know, the awareness that the breast cancer people do is not on a bum out. It's concentrated on health. So they do the bras, you know, thousands of bras. They stretch out over places
miles
to raise money.
Miles of bras.
Miles of bras. And then they also do these great things like checkoutmybreast.com, where you hit little buttons and learn how to give breast exams. And I think that the more people that learn to do breast exams, the better. And maybe, you know, there was that guy, remember that guy who was going door to door and giving breast exams?
Pretending. free breast exams.
But anyways, this is a wonderful call, and it's
how would you fall for that? maybe this is not related, but someone came to my door and just said that.
And said they were doing a testicle exam?
Yeah.
You would say okay.
But
I know
not,
you. You would
that
say,
is not
okay,
the issue.
They didn't fall for it. They did not
people were
fall for it.
They did not fall for it, but they were complaining later.
They
so
were
maybe
complaining
he was
later. You might complain later, too. You might say, okay, check out my testicles, and then you might complain later. That's your job. It's your job. That's your right to complain later. That's always the right. We want to get into this gas prices thing because I have a nut point of view. Everybody's going nuts. You know, the gas prices are up through the roof, up like $3 a gallon. They're going to go up more. I think it was a place in Beverly Hills, the Drudge Report said, that was up to $4 a gallon for gasoline. And we hear, you know, you and the Lance Burton show and me and the Big Penn and Teller show, a lot of people that come to Vegas and come to see our shows drive in cars.
Right from LA,
and if they don't drive in cars and they don't get here, we don't get people coming to our show. So this is an issue for us. It's an issue for, we are a car-based economy. It's an issue for all Americans. And I get so angry. There's this legislation coming in from Heather Wilson, who's a Republican from New Mexico, who's calling for penalties up to $150 million for refiners and other wholesalers who do price gouging on gasoline. There's all that stuff about Tillerman, the chairman and CEO of Exxon, about how much Exxon is making. They made, gazillions of dollars in profit at the time when gas is $3. I don't know why they don't just trust. Why, as Americans, we don't just trust the free market? Let gas prices go wherever they want. If Exxon wants to make too much money charging too much for gas, that just means that another gas company can come in and do it cheaper. They are not doing a cartel. They are not fixing gas prices. They're just running business. The other thing is the big bad corporations that we talk about and we hate so much are owned by women and widows and orphans and people who own stock. It's all sorts of people that own stock in these companies. Yes, the CEOs make a lot of money. If someone else could do the job that well, they would hire them if they could do it cheaper. You know? So I just think they should just let the free market go and just trust it. You want to take a phone call? Is there a phone call on this?
Go straight to line one. This is Charles.
Hey, Charles, what's up, man? This is Penn.
Hey, what's up, Penn? Oh, you are one cool, crazy person.
Thank you so much, sir. What's up, boss?
Anyway, man, you know, I just don't see the point of all these gas. I mean, everywhere else in the world, the gas prices are around like $5 or $6.
And sure.
Over in Germany and Britain,
yeah,
and every other place and everything like that. I mean, America's finally catching up to the rest of the world. I mean, we can't have like $2-3 gas prices forever, you know? I mean, and besides,
right.
I don't really, you know what I mean, right, Pitt?
I know exactly what you mean. And the other thing about that is that gas prices, if you correct for inflation, if you go back to the 50s and 60s, gas prices are not really that high in terms of the percentage of income. Now, I'm saying all this like I'm cold and don't care at all about people having paid too much for gas. This is money out of our pockets because there will be less tourism and less people coming to Vegas. But it is higher everywhere else in the world because there's all these subsidies and all these manipulations. And what happens is when the gas prices get too high, all these government people jump in and say, we can help you. I mean, remember that thing about giving $100 back each person?
Oh, God, that was just bad.
Man, it was like, you know, I haven't been that thrilled since my proctologist told me I could keep the glove. I mean, it's just, it means nothing. What's that? It just means nothing to give you this $100 back. And by the way, Mr. Government, who does that $100 belong to? It belongs to us. This idea that we owe the government that much tax money and that they might give it back to us is just insane. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling.
Love your shows. Love everything about you, man. I hope y'all have a long, enjoyable radio show. Thing, okay.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you so much. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. And we're maggoty with calls, aren't we?
We are waist deep in phone calls.
Okay.
Right off the bat. Here.
And hardly anybody even noticed that I started out talking about breasts. They're right into the real issue, aren't they?
No one has called in about it at
good,
all.
Good. You know why? Those who got it and wrote it down are watching it.
Yeah.
They're watching it. But listen, no. We're not talking about, you know, I have it running on my screen. So I was talking to Charles. We were talking about free market and stuff like that. And I'm watching this very attractive woman check out her breasts. It's the greatest thing in the world. This is what multitasking means, kids. Let's take another call. 866-313-FREE.
Let's go right to Tony in New York. He's online too.
Hey, Tony, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? The only thing the politicians are doing is they're the ones stealing from us. We really need to address the fact that we're being taxed on gasoline. Local taxes, town taxes, county taxes, everything's being taxed on the gasoline. Let them drop the tax. If they want to do something about it, drop the tax on the gas.
Exactly. They could drop the tax entirely on the tax on the gas. They're thinking of doing that temporarily. I would say do it permanently. But the other part of that is, Tony, when you weigh the two things together, they also subsidize the gas industry tremendously because Americans will not accept gas going too high in price. And like Charles was saying in the last call, it's more expensive everywhere else in the world. So if you want to, the government that can help you is also the government that can hurt you. So yes, they should drop the gas taxes, but they should also stop subsidizing. And once they stop subsidizing, all the other problems they have with the gas guzzlers and the problems they have with alternative fuels not being able to compete automatically go away. I mean, every single subject that comes up, I have two points of view. One is pro-science, and two is pro-free market. And I think this is really a case where free market and science come together. If you want things to be fixed, let them be fixed by the people. The government never does anything but screw things up. So I agree with you completely, Tony. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Let's take another call. 866-313-FREE. You can also write in if you're not if you're not near a telephone. You can always type in penradio@gmail.com. Of course, I like that I postulate that a person that is not near a telephone would have access to high-speed computer equipment. But that does happen. That does happen. So let's take another call. What the hell?
All right.
What the hey?
Line one, this is Sean. Sean, this is Penn. Penn, nice to meet you.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
All right. This is Sean from Woodridge. I just wanted to say, we could do something on our own. We could go to work 4 days a week and work 10 hours a day instead of going to work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. That would save us 1 day of commuting. That would save us a day of tolls and give us an extra day to work at home.
Sure, but would that be that's not something you're proposing has to be organized. That's just something people can do on their own, right?
Well, give people the idea. We got to let everybody know that there's other options we can do. We can do something. There's other things that we could do to save ourselves money, to save ourselves fuel bills, and still get the jobs done that we need to do.
Sure. I mean, with the exception of, there are many, many businesses that can do stuff by telecommuting, by computer commuting and stuff like that, and also working longer days and traveling less. We don't have to talk about carpooling, though, do we?
Carpooling works, but at the same time, I'm saying, get the people off the roads one less day a week. If everybody had an alternating day off during the week and worked a longer day, there would be 20% less people on the road. There would be 20% less gas used for commuting.
Sure, absolutely. That's a great idea. Let me just tell you the reason I'm against carpooling is if you put four people in a car while our radio show is on, it's almost guaranteed that one person will hate the show and then no one will be able to listen to it. So I think you should only carpool with people that love the Penn Jillette Show and Free FM. That's all I would put. So as you go around pushing your point of view, make sure you say that carpoolers should have similar tastes in radio listening. I think that's a very, very important point. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling in. It's 866-313-FREE-3733 at penradio.com. You can go there and find out all this stuff going on. And I think that's a great idea. But I don't ever think that the answer is conservation. I believe, and this is a horrible thing to say, I mean, this is probably the most controversial thing I'll say, but the idea that in this country that is so affluent and doing so wonderfully, I think we have a lot of guilt. So we feel like we shouldn't be enjoying all the stuff that we have. I think that the idea, the solution is always science. We are not going to solve the coal problem, the global warming problem, the ozone problem by conservation. You solve it with new technology. And the really sad thing about energy is that we have the new technology. One of these days you're going to have Patrick Moore on, and he'll talk about this more, I'm sure, more articulately than I will. But we have articulately. We have nuclear power. And nuclear power really does work. France, and really, you might want to underline this. You might want to underline this on the podcast. Penn is going to say something good about France.
That should be the title of today's show. Yeah, Penn says good things about France.
No, not good things.
Uh-oh.
Good thing. Good thing. Singular. One. Well, okay, there's the kissing, and there's, all sorts
cheese.
Of... Cheese. I prefer their sexual act.
Okay.
But I do love cheese. That just shows you how much I love the sex act the French invented, in that I love cheese tremendously. Cheese, sex acts, kissing, and nuclear power. France gets 80% of their power from nuclear and 20% from hydro, okay?
Right.
We get, from the 104 power plants we have here that are still nuclear, we get like 20% of our power. So it's just reversed.
Yeah.
Reversed. 80 instead of 20. Nuclear power is really clean. And then when you have electric cars, they make sense. Because right now, electric cars are, in a big sense, coal-burning cars. Because all you're doing is moving where the energy is made. But if you had nuclear power, I don't want anybody misquoting me. I'm not suggesting nuclear-powered cars. That was an idea I had.
It's a great idea.
A little tiny. I mean, you put... like a pinch. Just don't overfill the tank. Don't be topping off with uranium.
You have a Volkswagen van that only fits one person because of the nuclear reactor in the back.
But
and
boy,
the lead.
And it's really best to use in colder climates.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it will heat up like a Mother Hubbard. Let me tell you, you'll be warm and toasty. And actually, you can keep your van parked, plug it into your house, and run the whole house all day with
that. That's what they're talking about with fuel cells
as
well.
Yeah, fuel cells are getting better. I mean, one of the big solutions is batteries. But until we get away from the fossil fuels, we're not going to accomplish anything. And getting away from the fossil fuels is going to take a while. And the way to do that is by letting things cost what they really cost. When you bring down the prices with Congress forcing the prices down, then you're going to have the alternative fuel services. And the answer is not to give more money to the alternative ones. Just take it away from regular gasoline.
Sure.
Let's take another call.
You know, we actually have a caller who wants to talk about that. Liam on line 6.
Hey, Liam.
How you doing?
Doing very well, Liam. Cool name, Liam.
Thank you. You know, that's interesting. You're the first person to touch base on electric power actually being coal power and still polluting and destroying the atmosphere as if we were burning fuel.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah, tell Ed Begley.
Ed Begley will kick your ass, you tell him that. All you're doing is moving where the pollution comes from.
We're good at that, though.
Yeah, we are.
You know, we don't recycle any metals in America because of the emissions and the environmental concerns. So instead, we put all our scrap on a ship and ship it all the way to China, burning fossil fuel to get it there, let them melt it down and pollute the environment, and we put it back on another ship. And we ship it all the way back.
I didn't know that. What metals are you talking about? What metals are you talking about?
The end result is all our scrap metals, all our junk cars and everything get put on.
Oh, okay. So steel.
And so the end result is you got all the fuel the ships burn to get it to China and back, and plus all the emissions from melting it down.
And is that an environmental rule that stops us from doing it here?
I imagine it's the environmental rule here. I know we have environmental rules with the coal burning, too, where you can burn a much dirtier coal in Pennsylvania than you can in New Jersey.
Oh, right, yet, yeah.
Yet we buy our electricity from Pennsylvania, and if the wind's blowing this way, the end result is the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely the same. And we're going to – Happy Jack's confusing me here. He's holding up a lot of things. But I think that that's something that Americans – not Americans, people, human beings. I just get so upset when people act like all the sins of humanity are concentrated in the U.S. Human beings tend to have this sense –
Obviously, you've traveled a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
and you've heard what the rest of the world has to say about us.
That they can get something for nothing. And you cannot get something for nothing. If you're going to generate energy, there is going to be some downside. We have a basic amount of energy we need in this country. We're not going to go below that baseline. We have to create that, and we have to find a new way. Now, the wacky thing is we have nuclear power that's working pretty well and can work much better. I mean, the worst thing that happened to this country was the combination of Three Mile Island and Bruce Springsteen, who together... Together, the two of them working, you know, that whole New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, they working together really did put the kibosh on nuclear power in this country. And Jackson Brown, let's throw Jackson Brown in. And let's throw in Chernobyl, too. So Chernobyl, Jackson
Chernobyl
Brown.
Chernobyl was a real disaster,
Bruce
though.
Yes, it was. But considering that's the worst thing that can happen in an incompetent country being run badly, not that terrible.
Considering yeah, unless
that's
you live there.
As the worst. Right. But I don't live there. And that's the whole point of this caller. Thanks so much for calling, man. But, you know, nobody points that out. He's absolutely right. Nobody points out that electric cars, Ed Begley's car, is just a coal-burning car.
Old choo-choo train.
Or 80% coal-burning car just moved to another place. Not to even mention that the cells to make the batteries are hugely polluting. And that's the other thing you forget on solar cells. The manufacturing is huge coal-burning and stuff. So we just have to let things be priced the way they're priced. This is Penn Jillette with the Nut Point of View on pennradio@gmail.com, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Feel free to call in. Get in line. I'll talk with you. And we'll be back after this on Free FM, free to say nutty stuff. Boy, that's a hell of a bass player, Plant. My tongue itches. Speaking of petroleum products,
I got a back scratcher.
No, the problem is I have this big pop filter on the microphone. There's this huge. It's a pop filter the size of a head on here. And I was talking very enthusiastically about nuclear power, and I stuck my tongue out and I touched the pop filter, which is some sort of, I'm sure, it is some sort of petroleum product. Uh-huh. And on top of that, the pop filter has been sitting in front of my mouth for years. So it's essentially a petri dish. So it's breeding this stuff, and it's also based on petroleum products. My tongue touched it, and now I have this kind of weird itch, like when someone folds paper and creases it too much, or files their nails the wrong way. You know, fingernails on cockboard. I don't. If you're doing a radio show, people listening, don't touch your tongue to the big pop filter. Okay, I'm all better now.
Get rid of your asthma.
We're talking about gas prices here. We're not talking about, but this was tied in with petroleum. You know, I'm supposed to stay on the same topic. It's petroleum products. That's what we're talking about today. The government officials talking about, you know, price gouging and trying to stop that. You know, I hate this when they put all these extra laws into place that are already there, you know. And the gun control people are huge on this. They say, we want to get, you know, guns doing da-da-da-da-da. And they just ignore the gun laws that are in place. They've already gotten all these gun laws. They don't want to enforce the laws they've got. They want to make more laws because people in the government get credit for making laws. They don't get credit for enforcing them. That's the president's job. So they all want to put in these price gouging things. There's already price gouging laws in place. They already can't do a cartel. They can't set up prices. They can't do any of this. But that's not enough that they can't do it. Now they got to not do it more. Get another phone call, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Or if you want to write a quick email, penradio@gmail.com. Who are we talking to? Michael Goudeau? Who are we talking to?
Well, let's talk to Jose on line 9. How about that?
Hello, Jose. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Penn? How's everything?
We're doing wonderfully, man. How are you?
Okay, just a quick analysis of what's going on. Okay, I was just recently in Venezuela, where gasoline is 32 cents a gallon.
32
cents per gallon.
Okay.
Brazil is totally non-oil. Don't import a drop of oil. Everything's basically ethanol. 90% of the cars that are produced in the United States run off ethanol. Why don't we have more ethanol stations?
Well, ethanol, I'm not sure that ethanol is guaranteed cheaper. What is ethanol costing in Brazil?
I don't know what it's costing in Brazil. I actually didn't check the prices. I'm an aviator, and I happen to go to Venezuela a lot, and it's like mind-boggling when you fly in and it takes $78,000 in the United States to fill up an airplane, and you go to Brazil, it takes $5,000.
Really? Really? You said you're a pilot?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you fly commercial or are you flying private planes?
I actually fly corporate.
Oh, cool. That's is that a good gig? You like that gig?
Best job in the world.
Yeah. And why do you think the prices are cheaper in Venezuela because they're producing more oil and there's less demand. Is that right?
Exactly. That is correct.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Why can't we, the largest country in the world, develop more resources that we don't have to depend on oil so much?
Exactly. Well, that's the point. But I think the way to get there, Jose, is to let the prices be what they really are. When you hold down the prices artificially, which is what the government so badly wants to do, if you want to appease people, you know, the problem is they treat the American people like they were children. I mean, they just said if they drop the taxes on it, the problem is we would use more oil. And if they just let the prices be what they want to be and let people use what they want to use, then you'd let the free market take care of it, and there would be alternate sources, and maybe then ethanol would be useful because ethanol is corn, isn't it? Isn't it mostly corn?
Yeah, and it's about $7.24 a gallon.
$7.24 a gallon?
$7.24 a gallon for any of the cellulose ethanol.
So if it's $7.24 a gallon, the gas prices have to get up pretty high before that's useful. But goodness knows we have enough corn in this country. We could certainly
we can release some of the Federal Reserve, and that will drop the prices right down.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to drop prices artificially. I don't want to drop them artificially at all. But I think if the prices go up of gasoline, it'll go up to the point where the alternative fuels make sense, and then you just have to do it. But thanks a lot, Jose, because He gets to go down there. He flies down there. What do you say, $78,000 to fill it up here
yeah.
and $5,000 to fill up in Venezuela?
I'm surprised everyone doesn't just stop there on the trip back.
Although, if you're driving corporate jets from the U.S. to Venezuela, what's the best thing you can be dealing? What's the best thing you're dealing?
Wonder what you're handling, yeah.
Exactly. What exactly are those people you're flying back and forth? What's their business? We had a theater in New York that we played at, and the guy used to go to South America on business trips and owned the theater all the time. And we were thinking to ourselves, you know, probably the best thing you can be doing is running guns. That's the best thing you're doing if you're doing that kind of I don't know. I guess I get all my information from movies. And everybody who's in the overseas trip shipping
sure.
is always really dirty. Those are the bad guys. So I just picture him having these guys from Miami Vice in the back of his, you know, the bad guys of Miami Vice.
Well, you know, I worked a circus in Mexico and we were running guns as well. So I mean, you got to figure if the circus is running guns into Mexico, probably the guy with the jet is. You would think.
probably. And did you drive a truck when you were there?
I did, yeah.
So you can drive an 18-wheeler?
I did for that week, yes. I did for the week down to Mexico City.
Did you have any training at all?
None.
So you were driving a truck full of weapons.
And circus equipment.
Mostly
circus equipment.
But some guns. Through Mexico.
Yeah.
I only have to ask one question that's really, really important. All of our loyal listeners that pay attention know what you did in the circus. You were a clown. Is that right?
That is correct.
Did you ever once get behind the wheel of the 18-wheeler in your clown makeup and drive guns around Mexico?
No.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. That's a heartbreaker.
I know.
That would have been one to lie about. You know, I see a whole new series, Michael Godeau, CIA clown.
That's right. Deep undercover.
What's in those big shoes? It'd be like, you know, Maxwell Smart, you know, on Get Smart. If he'd have been a clown, he could have had a whole fax machine in his shoe. Wouldn't that be just a phone? It would have been the whole thing. Let's take another call. I'm going off beyond the range of audience comprehension.
Sorry. Let's shoot on to line three. Let's talk to Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Penn. Great show.
Sorry about your name, man. This is Penn.
I want to talk about Brazil. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. They've been working on ethanol production for the past 20-something years since they had an oil crisis. And somehow, most of the cars on their roads are running on ethanol. So I'm not sure how, if we're having this problem with $7 and change for a gallon of ethanol, how is Brazil making this work?
Well, I think that Brazil, if I had to guess, if your gas prices get up high enough. Yeah, they have the illegal immigrants
right there. Yeah,
they live there. They don't have to import
them. They're not illegal or immigrants there, are they?
But I think that what you have, if you have the gas prices go up high enough, that's probably useful. But, I mean, where is that figure of $7, $7.20 coming from, Gouda?
Your wife.
I think someone on your show mentioned that.
Yeah, actually, I think it's my wife that's doing
that. She sent us a link for it.
Did a link for it. But the ethanol thing, now, how close is that to the stuff that the diesel that Willie Nelson's always talking about and Kinky Friedman? Is that ethanol they're talking about?
No, they're talking about the biodiesel left over after French fries.
Right, pouring that into trucks. And what's the upside and downside of that?
The upside is that it smells like French fries when you drive your car. I'm not sure what the downside is.
But I don't know. We'll look more into Brazil, or better yet, better than us doing research, somebody must know more about ethanol than us that's listening. If you know a lot about ethanol, call in 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. If you know a lot about it. The thing is that most of the people that push for alternate energy sources want the government to be pushing for this.
Sure.
The government puts money behind it. The government does this. The government does that. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just suggesting that the prices are let to go the way they go. In the 1950s, we had a huge shortage of tin, and tin prices were going through the roof. And when tin prices got high enough, aluminum came in. You had that technology of aluminum coming in, and now tin is cheaper right now than it was in the 1950s because aluminum came in. Let the gas prices go where they go, and then let everybody fight out whether they want ethanol or the biodegradable diesel. What is it called?
Biodiesel.
Biodiesel. or any of that stuff. Let those guys all fight it out, and then pretty soon there'll be plenty of gas. It'll be very, very cheap, and maybe we can get out of the Middle East. This is Penn on Free FM, 866-313-FREE-3733. We'll be back after this. Michael Goodell, it's been a long time since we talked about religion on the show. So there's a few religious issues I want to talk about. We're going to get to religion right away. But we kind of asked a question of the people before we went to a break. And I don't want to, although I want to move to a new subject, I do want to finish this up. A guy named Lars wrote to us, ethanol in Brazil is so cheap because it is a waste product of refining sugarcane. They burn it instead of tossing it in the trash. The reason ethanol is so expensive in the States is because it takes more energy to make it out of corn than you get by burning it. Ethanol is also not good for gasoline engines. It's less efficient and damages the engine. That's from Andrew. That's probably because the engines, you know, weren't primarily designed for it. Probably if you started ground up, it would make a difference. And also one of the reasons that sugarcane is so cheap, I imagine, in Brazil is that they can't really import it to the U.S. There's all these sugar and corn is just an amazing, complicated government thing we'll talk about someday. But the corn lobby is so strong. They put corn syrup in everything, and they take sugar out of everything. Sugar is kind of the bad guy. The corn lobby.
The corn lobby.
Well, there's that book out called The Omnivore's Dilemma that talks about how something like 50% of everything in supermarkets has corn syrup in it. I mean, bread and everything. We've all become very corn-based. Chicken McNuggets, 38 of the ingredients are made from corn in Chicken McNuggets. 38 of the ingredients. But that's what I want to try to get into. I want to get into religion because, you know, I talk about religion a lot on the show, and there's some people that have gotten very angry with comments I've made about things. And I do want to point out that I'm never talking about the people. I'm talking about the beliefs. And I do have this strong belief that that atheism should be on an absolute even par with all other religions. I don't want to be above it. I don't want special rights. I just don't want to be below it. And there's a great example of that. In Newsweek, I guess this was printed in Newsweek, April 28th. This goes back a little while, and I wasn't going to comment on this, but I got sent it like 50 times. And there's a certain point where I hit critical mass, and I just say, okay, we have to comment on this. But if you've read this thing, it's called Trying to Understand Angry Atheists. Why do non-believers seem to be threatened by the idea of God? And it's written by Mark Gelman, who is a rabbi. There's a picture of him on most of the things. It's not in this particular piece of paper. 866-313-FREE-3733, penradio@gmail.com. And he starts out really gentle. He says, I think I need to understand atheists better. I bear them no ill will. I don't think they need to be religious to be good, kind, and charitable people, and I have no desire to debate or convert them. I do think they are wrong about the biggest question, are we alone? And I will admit to occasionally viewing atheists with the kind of patient sympathy often shown to me by Christians who can't quite understand why the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection has not reached me or my people. However, there is something I am missing about atheists. What I simply do not understand is why they are often so angry. Why are atheists so angry? And I got to tell you, I think I can explain this to you really clearly, Rabbi Gelman. Atheists are angry for the same reason Jews are cheap. Jews are cheap because people say Jews are cheap because of a hatred for Jews. It's not true. It never has been true. It never will be true. There is nothing about temperament that is tied to being Jewish, either in culture or religion. That is an evil, hateful lie that people who do not like Jews, people who are anti-Semitic, people who are evil, say stuff like Jews are cheap. It's a bad, evil, horrible thing to say, and it's said by people who want to breed hatred toward Jews. Precisely the same reason atheists are angry. Atheists are angry because people who do not like atheists, people who are threatened by atheists, have this image of an angry atheist. Have there been angry atheists? Yes. Madeline Murray O'Hare, after her son was beat up and her mother was beat up, she was on TV and she was spitting mad. Have I been an angry atheist? Absolutely. I do a show called Bulls. Hit, where part of what we're doing is because I want to have a show that is passionate, is I overstate my case. That's one of the things you do in comedy. Rabbi, it is called hyperbole. So sometimes I carry on about atheism. The major problem people have with atheism is not that they're angry, but when they say there is no God and the other side gets angry, then all of a sudden the atheist might raise their voice along with them. When you want to talk about angry, Rabbi, let me talk about this. I don't know of any religious groups that get threats of physical violence from atheists. I've never seen that reported. Matt and Trey, my good friends on South Park, get hate and death threats all the time from the religious.
From the moral high ground, yes.
From the moral high ground. I have gotten because of Bulls hit and stuff that I've said. Christopher Hitchens has gotten because of things he said. We have gotten letters that if I read them to you, Rabbi, they would curl your hair. I will have to ask you, of course, he's Jewish. We may already have curly hair. Not important. It would drive you insane. And when I have a wife and a family, and I'm trying to speak what I believe from my heart, from a moral, loving point of view, and people send me threats of physical violence, occasionally I do raise my voice. The rabbi then ends with probably the most offensive thing. He talks about going to Cold Spring Labs to meet his good friend James Watson of Watson and Crick,
right,
who's discovered the double helix for DNA. And he says that Jim is an atheist and is not angry at all. And this is the way all atheists should be. Well, you know, Rabbi, I have some friends that are Jewish. As a matter of fact, my father-in-law is Jewish, culturally Jewish. He's certainly not religiously Jewish. But I do have friends that are religiously Jewish, although I can't think of one right now. And some of them are not cheap. Why can't all Jews be like that, Rabbi? So I apologize for every atheist who's ever raised his voice. But when your family is threatened and you are threatened, and when the government is constantly telling you that what you are is not, you know, when George Bush, the senior, said that atheists should not be considered Americans, when there's been that kind of hate pushed on them, occasionally anger comes back. I remember once I was on Politically Incorrect. And they were doing two shows then back to back. And on the second show, a good friend of mine, Nell Scavell, who's terrific, she was in the green room waiting for me. And I was on talking atheism with Bill Maher, who's also an atheist. And while I was there, there was a washed-up star from Saturday Night Live. Doesn't matter who it was, but somebody that used to be a star years and years ago. And she was going to be on later. And she turned to Nell and said, I don't know why he has to talk about his atheism all the time. Why can't atheists just shut up about it, be quiet about it, and hold their beliefs privately? You see, I'm a born-again Christian. Maybe that's why sometimes atheists get angry. We have a phone call. Want to take on this?
We do. We actually do have a phone call on this. This is line one. This is Jamie on line one.
Hey, Jamie, what's up, man?
Hi, Pat.
Oh, sorry. It's a woman, of course.
Jamie.
I have two wonderful friends who are named Jamie, and they both happen to be men. So forgive me for not being able to tell your gender from your name. Hello, Jamie.
Oh, hi. No, I listen to your show every day. I just wanted to make a comment about the atheism.
Sure.
I was going to say, I'm a Roman Catholic. I went to church all the time when I was little. I was an altar server.
Sure.
But I'll tell you right now, I have plenty of friends who are atheists. I don't think it is anybody's right to judge anybody and to force their beliefs on anybody. I think it's a load of crap that we should look down on people for not believing in something that you can't see. I mean, you know, having a belief in God is something that's very tricky because of the fact that there's no proof. I mean, I don't see why anybody who's an atheist shouldn't be allowed to voice their opinions, that they just don't have that belief in God or a higher power. And
well,
I think
it's
really ridiculous.
Thank you so much. And this is, I mean, I don't want to distort the position of the religious, because I have found the overwhelming majority of people who are religious, Jamie, are absolutely just like you. You don't have many of the people who are saying that atheists should shut up, or atheists shouldn't do this, or shouldn't do that. We are not treated very badly. In this country, we're treated terrifically, and most people, the vast majority of Americans, are like you and me, and it's wonderful we both agree, because believe me, if people start trashing Roman Catholics and saying they haven't got the right to believe what they want and to worship the way they want, I'll be right in the trenches fighting beside you. Deal?
Oh, definitely. No.
Okay, good.
She's in. All right.
I'm right with you, Pen. I was talking to my dad today, and he told me to stop listening to your show because I keep talking about it all the time, politics and religion and gas and everything else. And he's like, stop listening to Pen. He's like, I don't want to hear it anymore. He's like, you know too much.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie. That's so kind. And you know, maybe you could tell your father you're hearing it someplace else. Tell him you were listening to Rush Limbaugh, and these were the things he was saying.
This is not the first family problem we've caused.
No, we haven't. We've caused a few family problems. Yeah. We get those now and again. But that's a really important thing. After I read that thing from Rabbi Mark Gelman, I should make it very clear that most of the people are like Jamie. And when Matt and Trey and people like that get these horrible, hateful letters, it's from a very small minority. And the same exact people, the same exact guy, and I know this guy for a fact, the same exact guy, I could give you his name and address, is the same guy that writes hateful stuff to Matt and Trey and hateful stuff to me. And by the way, Jamie, he's doing it in your name. And that's the thing that's really evil. Let's take another call here. 863-133.
Let's talk to Chris on line 3. You there, Chris?
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How you doing?
I just want to say, Penn, I admire your passion for your beliefs. I'm not an atheist, and I had a question. I don't want it to make it sound like I'm patronizing you, but the question is, and it's an honest question, I really would like to know.
Sure.
What do you base your decisions on as far as morally? Meaning this, wouldn't you be able to just do whatever you wanted to do if there was no repercussions in the future? And I'm honestly, it's just a question I have.
There are always, that's a good question, and possibly the most important question to ask an atheist, because morality is often associated with religion. I do not act morally because of reward or punishment in the afterlife. I act morally because I believe that society works better that way, and I believe that I'll be treated that way, and I believe it's the right thing to do. They found in troops of monkeys, and I know this isn't the right day for it, but even in those kind of troops, a certain kind of morality develops. I believe that morality is a right and wrong that transcends human learning, perhaps similar to mathematics. Mathematics and arithmetic exist without human intervention. I believe that's also true. And I believe, like many, many atheists, that people are so good and care so much about each other and love is so important and we love each other so much that trumps all sorts of fear of reward in the afterlife or punishment in the afterlife. I think the reason that atheists are good and are moral is because they love people and want to be loved. That's the only answer I can give you, man.
Interesting.
You know, we've talked about this on the show before.
Thank you for the answer. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
I
Chris.
To know, honestly.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
You know, how do you want your morality based on a threat? You know, when your mom said, "Stop hitting your sister and tell her you're sorry," were you telling her you're sorry because you wanted to, or because your mom was going to whack the heck out of you?
That's the whole point. So come on, people now. Smile on your brothers. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Or maybe you can wait until tomorrow when we'll be back on Free FM and Radio.com.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.